Our gospel is in the third chapter of Matthew. It's on page 682 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along there. And it is the message of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And this is the one who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make paths straight for him." Now John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sin. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to escape the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, I am John the Baptist, and my message to you is simple. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I did my preaching out in the wilderness. I was sickened by what was going on in the temple in Jerusalem. People there thought they could just go through a liturgy, just pay a price at the temple, and then they could go on and live their lives as if they had done nothing. But I tell you, repent and change your hearts. That's what God wants. He wants people who will live their lives for him and not for themselves. So repent. The Messiah is coming soon, and you need to be ready to stand before your God. Are you ready for that? Now, I probably was most known for standing up against King Herod Antipas. Now, that's the son of King Herod the Great. And King Herod Antipas was a man who lusted. He lusted after other women so much that he divorced his wife and he married his brother's wife while his brother was still alive. That was an abomination before God, and I told him so. I told him to repent. He shouldn't be lusting and divorcing and marrying his own brother's wife. You know, I hear that this generation has a lot of lust and divorce and pornography, and that that's a big problem among this society. We are called to be faithful in our relationships. God does not desire divorce. God does not want us to lust after other people. God does not want us to engage in pornography. And if we're doing those things, then repent, because you're sinning against God. know, so often we think, well, you know, I haven't physically been unfaithful in my relationship, but marriage is meant to be not only physical, but emotional faithfulness as well. And one of the things when people start lusting is they begin separating their attachment to the one they're called to be faithful to. So easy in this society to send a text, to send an email, to send a provocative picture over a phone or over a computer. And even long before anything physical happens, the emotional unfaithfulness takes place. And so to realize God calls marriages to be relationships that are faithful physically and emotionally. And so if you are engaged in any kind of lust, any kind of activity that takes your energy away from the one you are committed to somebody else, repent. Because that is not God's desire for you and your life. And if just struggling in relationships that are called to be faithful is not enough, pornography in this society, a multi-billion dollar industry, it's rampant. I saw a survey that said over 50% of homes in America say pornography is a problem. Not just that it exists, but it's such rampant use that it's a problem. Because it distorts what God intended sexuality to be. Human sexuality was meant to be a beautiful thing, a thing of intimacy, of bonding in a couple that holds them together. And when sexuality is expressed as God intended it, it is a beautiful thing. But pornography rips apart the beauty of sexuality. It makes it just an act of passion, an act of the flesh. And when we engage in that, it just creates lust. It's the type of thing that leads to one-night stands, to the spread of venereal diseases, to the birth of children outside of committed loving marriages, and it is sinful. So if you happen to be one of those 50% that struggle with pornography, my word to you is repent, because it is not something that is pleasing in the eyes of God. We don't only have to worry about the lust of sexuality, but in this society there is a lust of money. The Bible tells you it is the love of money that's the root of all evil. We lust after things, materialism. And when we love money, it can become our God. That's what we think about. Can I get a bigger house? Can I get a newer car, a more luxurious vacation? And when we dwell on those things as our primary identity, we are sinning. It forms who we are, and that's not what we're called. If you're not giving your first fruits to God because you've already spent your money everywhere else on the things that you want, if you don't have anything left over to care for others in need around you and everything is committed to yourself, you are sinning. Then the love of money has created all kinds of evil, because that's not what God wants from us. So we can lust after sex, we can lust after money and materialism. And you live in a country where you have all kinds of freedom to do all of the things you want to do without having to pay a price for it. You can take God's name in vain all you want. You can engage in any kind of sexuality that you want. You can not worry about the Sabbath or God at all, and not have to pay a consequence in this society. You are free. But those choices aren't free. God says he has called us to prepare for his coming into our life. You know, in my day, when I spoke to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I told them, be careful. You think because you're the people of God, you think because your father is Abraham, you don't have to worry. Why, we're the people of God. We're the chosen people of God. And I had to tell them, God could raise up children from these stones. Right now, the axe is laid to the roots, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and burned. Don't presume that you can say, we're the children of God. And just as I needed to say that to the people of my day, Christians sometimes need to hear that too. Christians can say, oh, I'm in Christ, so I can do anything I want to. I don't have to worry about judgment. I don't have to worry about serving God. I have Jesus. But I tell you, the axe is at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I'm here to make you think. I'm here with a simple message. If you're engaged in sin of any kind, repent and prepare to meet your Lord. You know, I was thrown into prison by King Herod. And while I was in prison, I began to wonder, is Jesus the one who is coming? Is he bringing God's kingdom into this world? You know, I baptized Jesus. He was my own cousin. I saw the Holy Spirit come down on him at his baptism. I was certain for a long time he was the Messiah, but then here I am in prison. And this evil King Herod is still in power. What's the deal? And the Romans are still occupying the promised land of God. I thought the Messiah was going to change things. And so now I wondered, is Jesus the one I should be looking for? Or maybe we should look for someone else. So I sent my disciples and said, are you the one? How do I know if you're the one or if I should wait for someone else? Well, Jesus sent his disciples back, and they had a simple message for me. Blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the poor have good news preached to them. And then I saw, yes, the kingdom has come through Jesus. He's changing the world for a better way. He is healing people. He is caring for the poor. And although I didn't see it in my natural lifetime, after I died, Jesus died. But his death was of his own choosing. He chose to die on a cross for the sins of the world. And so it is indeed the kingdom of God has come through him, both in his ministry as he lived and in his death on the cross. And now you claim to be followers of his. And I would ask you a simple question. Is the kingdom of heaven coming through your lives? If it came through Jesus, is it coming in your personal life? Is it coming through this congregation? Is it coming through the church? Just as I could see the kingdom coming through Jesus, we should see the kingdom coming today. Because the fruits of repentance are fruits of compassion, and they are fruits of forgiveness, and they are fruits of love, the same fruits that Jesus demonstrated in his life. And if Jesus is in you, those fruits should be in you. The last thing I need to tell you about repentance, though, is that the final part of repentance is accepting the forgiveness God offers to you. Yes, forgiveness starts by saying, I am accountable to God. Repentance starts by saying, I'm accountable to God. That's the first stage of repentance. Because so often, our sin is saying, I'm only accountable to me. As long as I don't break the law, I can do whatever I want to do. But the truth is, you are accountable to a higher power. You are accountable to God for your life. And repentance starts by saying, Lord, forgive me when I think I'm the God of my own life and don't recognize I am accountable to you. The other thing forgiveness means, as I told the kids, is forgiveness means saying I'm sorry and meaning it. You have sinned not just against your brother. You have not just sinned against a spouse. You have sinned against God when you break God's commandments. And there should be sorrow when we do not live as God intended us to be. Sorrow. Repentance means feeling sorry when we have done wrong. Repentance also means trying to change your life and walk a different way. Literally in the Greek, repentance is metanoia, which means to turn to a new mind, a new way, a new direction. And so repentance is not just feeling sorry, it's saying, I'm going to start living different. But that final necessary part of repentance that gives us the power to change is accepting the love and forgiveness that God offers to us. You see, you won't be able to change your life without the power of Christ in you. That's the power. So repentance ultimately means accepting the grace and forgiveness God offers to you. Because when I talk about the axe being at the root of the trees and bearing fruit of repentance, the fruit of repentance is nothing less than forgiveness, grace, and love. So when you turn to Christ in true repentance, and when you finally accept the grace and forgiveness and love that he offers to you, that gives you power to change your life. And then you'll see the fruits of repentance in your life. So accept God's forgiveness, accept God's grace, accept God's love. And when you accept that as part of your repentance, and you let it flow out to others in the world around you, then you won't need to worry about the axe anymore. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are all sinners who fall short of your desire for our lives. Each one of us in our own minds knows where we have strayed. We can hide it from others. We cannot hide it from you. Open our hearts to you, Lord. Help us quit making excuses. Help us quit saying that we are the Lord of our own lives and on our knees humbly say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But Lord, let us accept your forgiveness. Because even though you see every shortcoming, every sin, you also look at us with eyes of love, with eyes of forgiveness. Lord, transform our lives. Fill us with the power of your presence. Help us to bear fruits worthy of repentance. To be your presence in our world, your light in the darkness. Lord, come into our hearts. Forgive us that we may be prepared for your coming. Amen. Our worship continues with our offering.